Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this. Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Living Colors. 1988 signature hit, Cult of Personality. Guitarist Vernon Reed, 67 years old today. Saw them down on the river. Can't remember whether it was last year or the year before at Riverbeat, and they were quite good. So shout out to Vernon Reed.
All right, we talked the other day about this Substack that you subscribe to, where they were ranking future title chances on the part of various NBA teams, on every NBA team. Who's the Substack?
Right.
And whose Substack is it, Chris?
It's a guy named Jeremias Engelman. He's been in the front office with a couple of different teams, most notably Dallas. He also used to work for ESPN. He came up with the ESPN adjusted plus-minus stat that ESPN uses. So he's a wonk who's been on both the media side and the team side for different teams. And he's writing now for actually the Substack that was created by Royce Webb, who was the editor, ESPN's NBA editor back during the Henry Abbott era.
I got you. Okay. Well, I had Jeffrey try to guess which teams. I didn't tell him where the Grizzlies ranked yet, but try to guess which teams were ahead of the Grizzlies. More, is this over the next 10 years to win titles? Is that
10 years. Yeah,
okay.
It's sort of title equity, quote unquote, over the next 10 seasons.
All right, let's see how many. We'll do one, and then we'll discuss that team, whether it should be ahead of the Grizzlies and whether it is. Jeffrey, what's your first guess?
So my first guess would be the Thunder.
Chris, is it on the list?
Thunder was number one on the guys' list, yes.
And it should be, right? I mean, should it be?
Yeah.
A? Yeah.
Well, you could argue one or two, depending on how much stock you put into, say, an individual player. But the totality of the talent, the contract situation, the draft pick situation, the management situation, you bundle all those things that sort of are into play there. The Thunder, yes. I mean, they're the defending champs with a super young team, you know.
Well, and then at least in the coming year, will they be overwhelming favorites to win the title in the coming year? Like, they're all back.
Right? I think that sounds strong to me. I think they'll be favorites, you know. They'll be the favorites.
Right.
And you know, they're certainly, but I don't know about overwhelming. Yeah.
Who, if the Thunder aren't going to win the title, who's going to win? We'll do this more of this when the season approaches. Off the top of your head, who would you pick to win the title next year?
Well, Denver took them to 7 games. Denver is the best player in the world, and Denver got better over the summer. So I think Denver is going to be a team that a lot of people look at very, very seriously. I think people are going to look at Houston very seriously. People will look at the Knicks and Cavs. Because somebody's going to come out of the East, and then you're in the NBA Finals, right? And so, you know, I think those are probably the first teams people will look at.
All right, so number one was the Thunder, Jeffrey. What? Give me another team that you think is ahead of the Grizzlies.
Spurs.
Chris?
Spurs, number two. And that's, you know, how much do you believe in Victor Wembanyama? You think this guy is Kareem, you know, who's about to start coming into his prime. The rest of the team is not totally put together around him, but they have a lot of good young players, including the number two pick in this draft, a reigning rookie of the year, a max contract point guard, and then they have a good general, you know, your draft pick management roster situation generally is pretty strong.
Do you think Wemby's going to be Kareem? And then the other thing is that he dinged them for the De'Aaron Fox contract, which he obviously a good player, but not impressed.
I think a fully healthy Wemby, I don't know if he's going to be the offensive player that like Kareem was. I mean, Kareem was the leading scorer of all time until very recently with LeBron James.
Right.
I don't know if he's going to be super, super, super elite as an offensive. I don't know if he's going to be Jokic, right, as an offensive player. But I think he's going to be super, super elite defensively. And then he's going to be like better David Robinson, right? You know, which is like, I mean, we're really splitting hairs in terms of greatness here, right? And so if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be like better David Robinson, which is a guy who can win multiple titles as the best player on a team, even if you're not quite, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So to me, the biggest question with Wemby is just health, right? The guy's that big. You just don't know. But talent-wise, yeah, he's off the charts.
Would you have had these as your 1 and 2 in some order?
I mean, I haven't done the exercise, but it seems right.
Right. Okay. Jeffrey, give me another one. Got another one?
Boston.
Chris?
Honestly, no. He is Boston at 14.
Okay.
Yeah. And that might be a little low for me. He basically says, you know, they're out of the mix completely for this season. And then he thinks the Jaylen Brown contract, the amount of money paid to Jaylen Brown relative to what he actually is as a player is sort of a drag.
Yeah.
And so he actually points towards like the rebuild that's going to come, you know, towards more of the back half of this 10-year looking forward, you would feel good about because of, you know, the quality of the management on the team, right, more than the quality of what they have now.
Yeah, that was the argument. They're not that this group, I mean, this group doesn't even really exist anymore because they've already disbanded it, but just Tatum and Brown are not going to win a title. If so, not for a while till they rebuild around them. And so that's why.
But I think that's low. I think if I did this exercise, I would have Boston higher.
Would you? Okay. We'll get to the Grizzlies in a minute. Jeffrey, take another shot. Who else do you think? You've got the Thunder ahead of the Grizzlies and the Spurs ahead of the Grizzlies.
All right. I'm going to say the Rockets.
Chris?
Rockets, he is third. The rationale is not available on that because that's part of a different thing that I don't have access to. But he is the Rockets third. You can guess. It's not a secret like what teams have. I think, you know, getting Durant boosts their chances for this season for a team that was already second in the West. And then you look at just the quality of young talent they have across the board. Amen Thompson looks like an all-NBA level guy. They just have lots of ways they can create all-star level players on the roster they already have. You're talking about Reed Shepard and Jabari Smith and a lot of these young players. And then like their draft pick situation is good and their management's good and blah, blah, blah. Again, I don't know if I'd have them third, but you can see it.
You wonder if you didn't have Durant there, because now they have sort of, it feels like two shots, right? There's the Durant shot this year, and then there's the what the young collection of players will become. And you wonder if there hadn't been this immediate, hey, they can win this year with Durant, if they would have ranked substantially lower. Okay, Jeffrey. Next shot.
I'm going to go in the East, Cleveland.
You got the top three.
You got the top three now. Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah. He is Cleveland 8, which is below the Grizzlies, which is sort of a spoiler.
Wow.
So he is Cleveland 8. He does not have commentary on Cleveland. But Cleveland is like really, really good. It's set up to remain really, really good. But, you know, there is some concern about the ceiling on that team. Again, I think I would have Cleveland higher. But he's got him at 8.
I kind of think that's shocking. Just because they're in the East. Right? I mean, doesn't that give you
right.
Whatever you think of the Grizzlies core and the Cavs core, and right now I think the Cavs core is a little more, I don't know, maybe would be higher rated at this point. They also happen to be in the East. Jeffrey, take another.
The one that Chris mentioned, I'm going to say Denver.
Yep, it's Denver at 5. Again, that's much more present tense, but present tense is part of this. So that's a team that's already won a title, and Jokic is the best player in the world, and they got, you know, he should be a top 5 player minimum for the next 3 or 4 years if he wants to be, and so there you go.
Jeffrey, how do we got? So we got the Thunder, the Spurs, the Rockets, and Denver ahead of the Grizzlies.
T-Wolves.
And he has Cleveland. Anyway, no, that'll be a spoiler. Anyway, but Cleveland's, you know, sort of in the mix, too.
He guesses Timberwolves.
No, he's got Minnesota 11, and I kind of feel that. I feel like the Minnesota thing, maybe they have, I mean, I know they've been in the West Finals back-to-back seasons, and maybe, you know, it wouldn't shock the world if they got back there this year. But I feel like that team has sort of hit its peak, and they're going to have to sort of rebuild it a little bit going forward. Maybe they can rebuild it around still Anthony Edwards. But you look at the A, Mike Conley as a starter is like 38, and then Rudy Gobert as a starter sort of turned the corner. And it's a little, you know, it seems like that team sort of peaked with what it had, and now it seems like they may have to have a little bit of a downturn before it turns back up. And then you just don't know if you can rebuild a team of the same quality. Like, can you have a better team around Anthony Edwards in 2 years if you have to rebuild it than you've had the past 2 years?
It's interesting because I think if you asked Memphis fans, broadly speaking, have the Timberwolves surpassed the Grizzlies and are they better positioned for the next 10 years than the Grizzlies? I think overwhelmingly people would say yes. And you've been making this point all along, Chris, is that they got these old guys and they're going to, and
yeah, I'm not.
But then he also called Anthony Edwards a second tier star. What'd you think of that?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it depends on where you draw a line. Like the first tier is Jokic and Giannis and Luka and Wimby jumping into that tier, and SGA is the reigning MVP. And I think Edwards is not that on that tier. He's like, there's the worst thing to be in the world than a second tier star, you know? I mean, when the first tier is that small. So no, I think that's right. You know, we're talking about one guy's list, and again, I haven't done the exercise. I think I might have the Grizzlies lower than this guy does on the list. But I don't think I disagree with him on the Wolves thing, because I do think that team is – I think the path ahead, I see more ways for the Grizzlies than I do for the Wolves, just because they're so deeply invested in some really old players who are turning the corner. And I don't think the back half of their roster is as strong in terms of the young guys coming up.
I'll bring the suspense to the end. The Grizzlies are seventh on this list in terms of the most likely to win a title or multiple titles or whatever you want to call it in the next 10 years, which is, again, this isn't some Memphis homer. It's one guy's list.
Right.
But I was surprised to find him that high.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
It's a smart guy. And this was part of this was something he contributed to Nate Silver's doing this project. And Nate Silver had three or four different people, you know, contributing to it. So this guy was sharing his own ballot on that thing. I don't subscribe to the Nate Silver Substack, so I don't see the whole thing. But I know that the Grizzlies finished in the top 12 in the broader one that Nate Silver did. Like, he cuts off at 13, so I don't know, but the Grizzlies are not there. And so the Grizzlies are in the top 12 of the one that multiple people contributed to, not just this one guy. And so I think when you look at it, think about it in terms of, like, what's your bundle of stuff to work with, right? What is your roster? What are the contracts of the roster? What's your draft pick situation going forward? And what's your management? And you take that bundle of stuff, like, if you redrafted the whole league, instead of redrafting players, you redraft bundles.
Right.
Like, in the cities are drafted, you draft in a bundle, right? Whoever has the first pick, let's say, like, Cleveland draws the first pick, they're not keeping their team, they're drafting the Oklahoma City bundle. So, right. I if you did that, I don't know where the Grizzlies bundle would get drafted, but I'm pretty sure it'd be in the upper half of the draft. It may be top 10. I don't know whether it'd be 7. Like, maybe it'd be 8. Maybe it'd be 9. Maybe it'd be 10. But I'm pretty sure it'd be in the upper half, their bundle of stuff that they have to work with.
It's interesting. In terms of the bundle of stuff, so the Hawks, for example, are at 12. They're ahead of the Warriors, ahead of the Celtics, ahead of the Lakers. And I'm not sure I would put the Hawks ahead of the Lakers because, I mean, here's the other thing that goes in your bundle. Los Angeles, you know, I mean, the city itself goes in your bundle, right?
Yes.
And Memphis goes in Memphis's bundle. But one of the reasons the Hawks, are ahead of the Lakers is the Hawks have the Pelicans pick. And that pick in next year.
I'm sure was a factor in the Grizzlies consideration.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to is that the one of the reasons we can't read his Grizzlies analysis because it was whatever. But one of the things the Grizzlies have, in fact, after Ja and Jaren, is the most valuable thing in the Grizzlies bundle the Suns pick?
Yes. If you were doing an asset rank of the Grizzlies stuff, and my friend Matt Hurlicka sometimes does this on his Patreon page, That pick would be probably third on the list. And some people might have it higher depending on your opinion of Ja Morant, right? Because there are some the opinions vary on Ja at that contract right. level and your ability to win with him. But that pick, I think, is considered extremely valuable. Now, is it considered more valuable than the similar kind of trade acquired pick that Atlanta has? That's an interesting thing. Like, which of those picks is more likely? I think the Hawks pick is probably slightly more valuable
yep.
than the Grizzlies pick. They're both like super valuable. My suspicion, and I wonder if he's not putting enough. I wonder if he's not accounting enough for conference, because if you're looking at it over 10 years, like the conference balance could change, so maybe that doesn't factor in as much. But I suspect the difference between a Hawks and a Grizzlies when you're looking at this is that Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a stronger combo than Trae Young, Jalen Johnson, which are similar players at similar positions. And he may be, again, I'm assuming that he hasn't said this, but he may be, the conclusion may be that Morant Jackson is a higher talent level as a combo than Trae Young, Jalen Johnson. I feel that way. But that may be part of it in sort of having the Grizzlies over the Hawks.
Well, you compare the Grizzlies to the Magic, who he has. The Grizzlies are at 7 and the Magic at
yes.
9. Not a big difference there. But there you've got
right.
Bain, Banchero, and Franz Wagner. So now you actually have 3. As the Grizzlies really only at this point have 2, but the Grizzlies then have a bunch of stuff, including that pick, and who knows, maybe their own pick, that could then
right.
elevate them, right? Scott, go ahead.
Yeah. The Magic seem like they're like, this is our team, and now let's go with it. Whereas the Grizzlies, honestly, if you take the conference part out of it, the Grizzlies talent-wise, not that different from the Magic, even after that trade, but the Grizzlies have all this other stuff that can feed into what they already have, whereas the Magic seem like they're now tapped out. Like
right.
they've made their bet on this team and they're going with it.
So Jeffrey, by the way, so the Grizzlies are 7th, and just to finish out this exercise, you got the Thunder, you got the Spurs, you got the Rockets, you got Denver. So there are 2 more that are ahead of the Grizzlies. Care to wager?
So we're saying the Magic are not?
They're both in the East.
Because my gut was the Magic.
No, not the Magic. The Magic are below. Magic
the
are
Knicks.
9. The Knicks are at 4, and Detroit is at 6. Chris, what do you think about both of those? Obviously, they're very different. The Knicks are a present bet, right? Like they're
right.
And then Detroit's like, Oscar Thompson could be awesome, you know?
I think the Knicks are going to be a popular pick to get out of the East this year just because of doubts people have about Cleveland as a playoff team. I think you're going to see a lot of people picking the Knicks in the NBA Finals this season. The Pistons are interesting because they didn't hit the gas. They could have hit the gas more like Orlando did, right, and gone out and added like their Desmond Bane to this group, and they didn't do that. And I think they want to go into this season because given the Jaden Ivey injury last year and some other stuff, they haven't really put all these young pieces on the floor together for an extended period of time. I'm talking about Cade Cunningham, who just made second, maybe third team All-NBA, just made All-NBA. Jaden Ivey, Oscar Thompson, Ron Holland, who was a rookie, Jalen Duren. I think they want to put all that out there and see what it looks like for a while before they make whatever move to supplement it. But, like, Cade Cunningham is like an All-NBA lead guard who's like 24 years old, and you have a lot of young talent around him, so it's a pretty good setup.
Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Just to go through the top 15, Jeffrey, I should have asked Chris what he thought about the Lakers being that low. I just don't agree with it. So this is one man's ranking of the most likely to win a title or multiple titles in the next 10 years. Thunder 1, Spurs 2, Rockets 3, Knicks 4, Denver 5, Detroit 6, Grizzlies 7, Cavs 8, Magic 9, Mavs 10, T-Wolves 11, Hawks 12, Warriors 13, Celtics 14, and Lakers 15. I wouldn't have the Lakers, honestly, below the Grizzlies just because they have Luka, right? I forget LeBron. I don't think they're going to win another title with LeBron. Do you?
No.
So,
but I do think the problem with, even though they have Luka, they have fewer mechanisms around, like to build around.
They other have than the city of Los Angeles, which somehow entitles them to other things, right? People forcing deals there.
Well, I mean, honestly, my
cheap contracts.
Well, my
there.
Argument would be is the ownership group that bought them is a really good ownership group.
He dings the Lakers for Rob Pelinka. He points at they botched the Alex Caruso thing. They should have kept Dorian Finney-Smith. He does not really. This is like he literally
See,
says.
I blame GM LeBron for that.
It could be GM LeBron for that. But the larger point here is, I do think the level of despair or pessimism. It's more pessimism than despair. Forget the lease, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was news on that Sam had another piece in the Daily Memphian today that the Sports Authority has approved the agreement with the Grizzlies to start to basically to do the work on FedEx Forum. There's no lease involved at this point, and so they're spending. It's interesting. They're spending some of the money to fix up FedEx Forum without having a lease.
Right.
Normally, you now. The argument would be a lot of this is repairs that should have been done right, all deferred, along the way
yeah.
and will have to be done anyway, right? But whatever. Put all that aside. Just in terms of the basketball future of this team, I think there is a level of pessimism in this town because of what has happened since the last few years, including the total trash year because of injuries 2 years ago and then the belly flop last year. And so to see that someone smart who's worked in front offices literally has the Grizzlies and their championship chances over the next 10 years higher than the Cavs, higher than the Magic, higher than the Mavs, higher than the T-Wolves, higher than the Warriors, higher than the Celtics, higher than the Lakers is pretty striking. And I actually, you could quibble over all of it, but the point that Chris was making about the bundle of stuff they have, They got what we were calling a second tier star in Ja, right?
Yep.
They've got a tremendous big man in Jaren, and then they got a bunch of bets, right? They got a bet on Zach Edey, they got a bet on Cedric Coward, they got the other pieces that they have, and then they've got this pick, probably the Suns pick, that gives them another chance at a big swing, and so. You look at all that and you say, that's a pretty good bundle of stuff. I don't know if I like it better than the Lakers stuff when you start with the city of Los Angeles and Luka, but it's a pretty good bundle of stuff. Do you like it better than the Cavs stuff? I think that's arguable. In fact, I think almost everybody, you know, would put the Cavs ahead. Plus, you get the Eastern Conference over there. But it is kind of...
Yeah, even though, yes, you have the Eastern Conference, which therefore makes the path to the finals easier...
Doesn't make it more likely to win the title.
The exercise is still
winning a title.
Correct.
It's not getting to the finals. You're exactly right. So I do think that's worth mentioning. That there's a certain woe is me quality right now about the Grizzlies fan base. I think whatever.
No, I definitely think you're right.
I think things are much more optimistic than.
I think vibes are worse than reality.
There you go.
With the roster,
100%. With when it comes to the roster, vibes are dramatically worse than reality. All right. We are going to come back, and Jeffrey is going to give us his first card. This is official, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, we're counting it this year.
This is going to go.
We usually don't count week zero, but
this is going to go in the record books. We're going to have Jeffrey tell you some wagers that he believes in. Before then, I'll tell you, if you want to get ready for the football season, you should get out to Oak Hall this weekend. Get out to Oak Hall this weekend. Look good at the tailgate, man. Look at the football games. Get yourself to Oak Hall. People are fantastic. The clothes are beautiful. Totally transformed the way totally transformed the way I look. You walk in there. I like going in, honestly, on a Saturday morning in football season. They're ready to talk about football and talk about the games, and they are ready to help you look your absolute best. I've said it all along that it's the level of service that you get there. They know you, they know your clothes, they know what you might be comfortable with, they know to nudge you to maybe try this, and then they got the tailor right there, and then people who do the alterations, they're right there too. It is a level of service that you just don't see any longer. It's what shopping should be like, and it still is at Oak Hall. This would be a perfect weekend. Perfect weekend to go see our friends at Oak Hall. We're going to take a break. Come back. Jeffrey's going to make you rich. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Every single year during football season, it's one of the we have a couple traditions around here. One is that we on Mondays after football weekends, we have the fight song roundup. Now, so happens, Jeffrey, I guess we'll do the fight song roundup this Monday, abbreviated fight song roundup. Monday.
I certainly think so.
Right? The next Monday is Labor Day, and we're not off. We're not on that day, so that's the first full weekend. We'll have to do a fight song roundup.
We can do one on Tuesday.
We'll have to do one on Tuesday.
Because there will still be a game on Monday night as well.
So we do the fight song roundup on Monday when we celebrate those teams that deserve to be celebrated for their triumphant weekends by playing their fight song. Sometimes we get to play University of Michigan fight song. That's the best song in the land. We play the University of Memphis fight song routinely.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we play the Auburn fight song, which Jeffrey and I agree is a splendid underrated fight song.
Correct. Obviously, it's complicated.
Under current circumstances, Jeffrey finds it less mm-hmm. uplifting, but
the song's still great. I just don't like playing it on the roundup.
And then on Fridays, Jeffrey sets about making you rich. And this really started selfishly because I wasn't much of a wagerer, and you know I'm getting to be retirement age, and I got to maximize what little limited resources I have. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to use Jeffrey's expertise to make me money. And if you all can come along for the ride, that would be great. And so every year it became a tradition. I would go to the bank. It's now Leaders Credit Union, Leaders Financial, which is my bank. But I'd go to the bank and I would ask for the crispest $100 bills that they had. It's a new season. I want new bills. And I'd get $1,000 and I'd walk in here and I'd put that money in Jeffrey's hand, and I'd tell him, because I have complete faith and trust in Jeffrey, and I'd tell him to go forth, and I can't tell you how much money I've made. Now, I'm not saying I made as much money as the Ubiquity. You know, Robert Pera founded this company called Ubiquity, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, here's an interesting twist on everything that's happening with the Grizzlies, by the way, right now, Ubiquity today is up 21%. In the last year, it's up 175%.
Good God.
Year to date, it's up 44%. So he's killing.
What markets are they growing?
He's absolutely killing it. One day, up 24%. They have a stock buyback program. They just whatever. Ubiquity is killing it. However rich he was yesterday, he is 25% richer today in his stock ownership. Well,
over the year, he's double.
And he was his Forbes had him at $18 billion the other day. But whatever. But anyway, so I'm not saying I'm making money at making bank at that level, but I did pretty well on the Jeffrey gravy train. And then the last 2 years came along, and I'll be honest, I've given some of it back. It's just the way it's.
Got to spend money to make money.
Got to spend money to make money. And I'm a long-term investor. I'm not one of these day traders. Mm-hmm. I'm a buy and hold guy. And so I did it again this morning. And understanding that it's a limited card.
There are only, I guess technically there are five games.
But here we go. We're firing it up again. Oh. God, music to my ears.
Jeff, we are calling the week zero card the Sunflower State. I wouldn't say showdown. The sun
spectacular.
We're trusting in sunflowers.
Trusting in sunflowers.
Correct.
By the way, as we head into this new year,
mm-hmm.
And you self-scout over the course of the offseason.
Throughout the season.
Throughout the season, of course. But when you took stock during this offseason, what were the themes that emerged about as you go forward?
It's always the same theme almost every single year. I should just bet SEC games.
But then there's Alabama. What do you make of Alabama? Because Alabama was a big money maker.
Let me tell
you
what, we will be trusting the Tide this year.
You're going to trust the Tide this year.
Trust the Tide. Yeah, I think the other theme is a lot of really smart gamblers say don't trust numbers, trust teams. Like that never goes wrong. We're going to start trusting teams.
Trusting teams,
correct? Rather than playing numbers.
Yes. Okay. All right. So back to sunflowers.
Yes. So, of course, the Sunflower State is the state of Kansas.
Yep.
We will be starting in Dublin, Ireland tomorrow. We've got Kansas State, a 3-point favorite over Iowa State. Jeff, there's a couple of principles here. Number one, when Iowa State loses multiple NFL skill position players, we do not back them the next year. And also, when you have a matchup of top 25 teams in week one, if it is at a neutral site, the favorite since 2005, 19-9.
Really?
Even though I don't love Avery Johnson like apparently I guess Kansas State people do, he sold his Corvette. Too flashy. Getting back to basics.
Oh.
Much like the theme of what I did this offseason.
Yeah.
Like, let's get back to basics. We're going to trust Kansas State, we're going to trust this team. We're going to trust Chris Klieman. We're going to lay the 3.
K-State -3 over Iowa State. By the way, on this game, obviously it's in Dublin, and you would think, why are they putting this game in Dublin? Like in particular.
I think the Big 12 is going to be spreading the good news of the Big 12 around the world.
Right. But why would you? So what? Evidently, you know, Ireland does this because they want to bring American tourists to Ireland. That's why they do it, right? A long haul. Let's show people beautiful pictures of Ireland.
Well, and it's a good time in the calendar.
And it's a good time in the calendar. But it also literally brings tens of thousands of tourists for the game.
Yes.
But then, and they fly them on Aer Lingus. Like they put on a.
I think Aer Lingus sponsors the game.
Yeah, they do. And so they the whole deal is like, we want to get people excited about coming to Ireland, but we also, it's just like the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, they want to bring people here for that week, the people who are actually coming. And so, and we've seen this in Memphis, Iowa State travels.
Yes, they do.
Iowa State travels.
But this is also included into my models. What do they not have in Dublin, Ireland?
Oh, the beer.
Bush Light.
Bush Light. That's a problem. It's going to throw them off. What the hell are they going to do with the Guinness? What are they going to run with?
That's not their style. Are they going with Killian's? No.
Right. So anyway, so they actually, they wanted Iowa State, and they went and asked Iowa State, and Iowa State's like, we're not giving up a home game.
Yep.
You know, a home game. And so then they went to Kansas State, and honestly, this came down to Chris Klieman. Klieman said, you know what? He talked to other teams that
I'm so glad you're telling this story because this makes me even more confident.
he talked to other teams that have done this, and they said it is among the best experiences that their kids have ever had. They had to go out. Half the team didn't have passports. I hate to bring up passport after your bad experience with the word passport yesterday.
Did you see my tweet this morning?
No.
I woke up thinking about the Honda passport.
Thinking about the Honda passport. This is a reference to Ride of the Red Trivia yesterday, which went the wrong way for Jeffrey. But anyway.
And then there was one behind, not even my wife's car. There was another Honda passport that was driving behind getting to work. I was like.
So they had to get passports for half their team. They had to but Chris
super
Klieman
easy
said,
process.
We're going to do this. And
love
so
it.
It's a home game that K-State is giving up, which is no small thing. Why does it? It just speaks to their confidence, you think?
Yes, absolutely. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. And Farmageddon has become Farm-O-Geddon as it goes
Farmageddon.
I'm not sure. I'm not completely convinced about your Irish accent. Anyway, K-State -3 over Iowa State.
Jeff, we said it's the Sunflower State Spectacular. or whatever. We're just trusting in sunflowers.
Yeah, sunflowers, yeah.
Jeff, mm-hmm. we have a principle here. You Another know as one. Much as I love stadiums, and I love new stadiums. I love renovations. Mm-hmm. I love all the graphics. We got the University of Kansas opening their brand new stadium tomorrow, or their new old stadium tomorrow, and we just have to lay the number.
So what'd they do with their stadium?
They basically knocked down the entire half of the field.
That stadium was a wreck.
Correct.
Memphis has played at yes. Kansas, and I went there.
It was a dump stump.
It's gorgeous, like where the view, like walking through.
Yep.
It's a gorgeous place. But then the stadium's kind of a dump.
Yes. So not anymore. $300 million. I got 300 Ooh. Million reasons why.
Wow.
It is no longer a dump. Kansas has not played a home game in 2 years. I'm going to say that they're fired up. This ain't Pat Hill's Fresno State anymore. There's also a fade the Mountain West principle here. Rock chalk. I'll lay the 13.
Kansas minus 13 over Fresno State.
I want to, in spirit, take Hawaii, but this is the discipline play. And honestly, I thought about dropping Kansas because I think Timmy Chang really needs it, and I really think Stanford could be like Mac bad, like Kent State bad.
The Andrew Luck era is not gonna.
Well, I mean, they've lost everyone. Like when they fired the coach, they've lost everyone. Like they are literally playing a guy in Gil Branson that I didn't know was still playing college football. I think he didn't know he was still playing college football.
Okay, so you want to take Hawaii. Why aren't you going to take Hawaii?
Because we're showing discipline.
Okay, what's the discipline?
The discipline is we're only taking the games we really, truly believe in.
So you're stopping there.
Correct.
You have two games on the card.
Correct.
What was the line in Stanford, Hawaii?
That's now 2.5. Hawaii is favored on the island.
Hawaii minus 2.5 over Stanford, but you're not taking it.
Correct. We're not playing it.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to discuss? We got two on the card today. We're being disciplined. Jeffrey's trying to make, he's careful being, he's being responsible about my money, and he's being responsible about your money.
There's always a part of me that says Dan Mullen's playing a football game, and he, of course, was one of the tremendous founders of CoachesThatCover.com.
Uh-huh.
I can always remember, I feel like week one is always kind of an experiment. They're playing Idaho State. It's just really tough to say I'm laying 4 touchdowns right now. I'll do it next week. Don't worry.
Okay, but you don't want to do it.
We'll get back to basics.
All right, that's it. That's the week zero card. K-State minus 3 over Iowa State, and Kansas minus 13 over Fresno State. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, let's see. What have we not discussed as this week wears down, Jeffrey? Well, Hernandez Govan, he got off. Did you follow the trial?
So I only follow the Daily Memphian updates.
He's the guy who was accused of
essentially putting the hit on Young Dolph.
Yeah, well, he, according to Big Juke, kind of arranged it,
okay.
But he's dead.
All right,
okay. And then Hernandez Govan was accused of being the middleman.
Okay.
Who...
Brokering the deal?
Brokering the deal, who got Cornelius Smith and Justin Johnson to do the shooting. But his defense lawyers, their whole argument was that this was all Big Juke. He's the fall guy for
Correct.
Big Juke. And it helps to make that argument when Big Juke is dead. Now, one of the things, and I didn't follow this that closely, I read the Daily Memphian updates too, one of the things is that it was a little confusing, and one of the points the defense attorneys made was they never interviewed Big Juke.
Mm.
Like, why did they never interview Big Juke, right? And now Big Juke is gone. Am I convinced of Hernandez Govan's innocence? No. But do
in
I...
In a court of law?
But whatever. That whatever arguments they seemed to muster didn't fly with the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And so... there you go. We have not discussed that. We've not discussed Malik Beasley. Now, his lawyers, Jeffrey, you recall, he was caught up in a
there were accusations of rigging bets.
Right, it was a particularly a prop bet, unusual betting activity.
Yes,
on one of his unders.
It was it was very circumstantial, but the internet was hot on it.
And his lawyers have said he's no longer under investigation. Now, mind you, when the allegations emerged, he was on the verge of signing a 3-year, $2 million deal with Detroit.
Yeah.
That vanished when the allegations surfaced. Now it appears, again, this is from his attorneys.
Yeah.
The U.S. attorneys haven't commented, and the NBA hasn't commented. But it appears he can now sign with whomever. Whether that $42 million is still available is...
Seems unlikely.
Seems another unlikely. You remember I wrote a column about this Julie Barrett, who's a Penny super fan, and her daughter Macy, who gave Penny a bracelet.
Do you remember absolutely.
Gave Penny a bracelet. Well, for Julie's a grown woman. For her birthday, it was this week, she got the following tattooed. It's a quote from Penny Hardaway. On her arm, it appears. Anytime anyone believes in you, it just gives you these superpowers. Penny Hardaway. There it is right there on
there
her arm. There it is. So I do think it is when people believe in you, it does give you confidence.
Sure.
And so there you go. And I think that about wraps it up for the week. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Anthony Sain and Jeff will join Jason and John. Tim Murray joins us from Hawaii. Blake Topmeyer will join me during the first hour as well. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back Monday. Have a great weekend. For now, work is done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.